Hello, welcome to the Snap UK Super Wildcard Weekend Review podcast. I'm here, Johnny Fash. I'm here with 4 Inches, Jimmy G, and Griff.
I thought you were going to give it a really big build up there.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. One of the seemingly issues of lockdown is both my loss of memory and my inability to speak, which is really useful for today. For anyone not in the UK listening, we are still in lockdown. So hence, we are still doing this over Skype.
Skype.
We're now here until mid-Feb at least.
At the very least.
But of course, because we're definitely not out of this until mid-Feb, means we can't see each other for the podcast or the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah. Good God.
It really does help an NFL podcast when we can't be present or watch the Super Bowl as a group.
Yeah. Especially like if one of your mates has a really like great big prefab shed for hosting that sort of thing. You know, it's really, really, really great.
The type of thing where 5 people could easily be socially distant within.
Yeah.
If only.
Mm. But that's fine.
To be fair, if you're American and you're listening, you can't say anything about the UK. Whoa! Anyway.
You don't know. Have any of your friends ever tased their ball so much you had a heart attack?
Just one.
Just the one.
That's how ball was.
If ever there was a story about only in America, it was that.
Yeah. But this is not a politics show.
I feel for the guy, man. That's a horrible way to go.
It's a horrible way to go, but...
There must have been a few seconds of pleasure, at least, though.
Are we really going to discuss whether the guy died while coming in his pants?
I mean, it's not a politics podcast, so we'll refrain.
It's not. No.
It's not. So we'll stick away from the politics of the pleasure sensation when you tase your own balls and go straight into
straight into anything. You've missed a straight into. We've now discussed a man doing that. It's a new low for us. And that takes a lot after, 200 podcasts? Well done.
I mean, to be fair, after this season, the podcast with 2 Giants fans, a 49ers fan and a Patriots fan, we've had this physical football equivalent of getting tasered in the balls until we had a heart attack.
Wow. It's not far off.
Yeah. We'll get into the news at the end, because...
News at the end.
We'll get news into the news end. After the news games.
After the game.
So we'll do it as part the start of part two.
Come on, John, get it back in. Come on.
So we're going to do it in order. So, first game, Colts 24, Bills 27. Bills progress to the playoff, next round of the playoffs.
Divisional
for the Colts.
Round.
Divisional round. Super divisional round.
I think it's just a standard divisional round.
It's just the standard, but I like the idea of just sticking with super everything. So be the super.
Yeah.
the super, super bowl.
For the Colts, we'll get into it, but you know, they got to the playoffs, but it does look, is this going to be the end of Rivers? We'll get into that. Let's first go into, let's talk about the game, because it was tight.
I thought it was a good game.
Yep.
I also agree, it was a good game. I also felt that scoreline flattered the Colts.
I don't think it did.
I disagree. I'm with Jim. I think the Colts accounted themselves very, very well, and ultimately, in the end, the better team won, but not by much. That's all it was. The Colts' defense did as good a job as anybody has done for half a season against the Bills.
Yeah, you know, they shut
down the running game.
I think the Bills' defense wasn't as good as what it has been over the past few weeks either. I think I think if the Colts could have got more out of their running game, I think that's the one area where they needed more. I really think they could have won this game. I thought Phillip Rivers, he played well. You know, two touchdowns, 309 yards, no interceptions, didn't take a sack.
Waiting for the killer pick, weren't we?
Literally, we were chatting about it, wasn't it? That last drive, which ultimately wasn't successful because the ball got battered down. That would have been the cliche moment of Phillip Rivers to throw a pick, and he didn't, which I think shows tremendous progression from an old quarterback.
It felt like when we watched Jameis play his last game for the Bucks, and he knew he needed one more pick to hit 30-30 for the season, and you knew it was coming. So when Rivers had to throw downfield for a Hail Mary, you just thought, this is guaranteed. And when it didn't happen, I was kind of upset.
Yeah.
I like the irony that the COVID-19 year of the NFL has killed off the elderly.
There's still plenty more.
It's over, are you? You think it's all over for Phillip Rivers?
Yes, I hope so. I hope so.
I think it is. I think if you the press conference after the game that he had, he looked quite emotional, as if he kind of knew that was probably it. He had a 1-year deal at the Colts for $20 million. I don't think he's getting that again. And I think he said before the game, didn't he, that if this was his last game for the Colts, then it's his last game in football. He doesn't want to play for another organization. He doesn't want to move. You know, it costs a lot for that guy to move. He's basically got the population of Georgia to move with him as well.
You have to fill out every time they move.
Oh man, like that must be a killer.
Yeah, I think that's the signing off. But you know, it's rare for a quarterback to take two franchises to the postseason. So let's give him credit there. But the interesting stat that Paul will like is Phillip Rivers has the most one score losses all time by a quarterback. How many?
Ooh.
7.
54. 39.
65. 65 all-time one-score losses.
I mean, sorry. I was sorry. I thought it was one-score losses. I thought it was... I completely missed... I was looking at some stats myself. I thought you were talking about the amount of times he's gone out of the playoffs in the first round. That's why I said 7.
Yeah, I think you're probably right with
and
7.
And he's retired because he's old and decrepit.
Yeah, 65 one-score losses in a career is a lot. I think the next closest is about 50. So
I don't think you can put that all on him. Like the Chargers went through four seasons of not having a kicker who could kick field goals in the last second of the game. Like the amount of games they missed because of special teams. But yeah, I mean there is a
Phillip Rivers was not the reason they lost this game. They didn't have what did they get? 78 yards out of Jonathan Taylor, 75, Naeem Hines. They need a 100-yard rusher most weeks to be able to win with Phillip Rivers. That's just the reality. And when we get to the Steelers later on, we're going to have the same discussion because old quarterbacks need people around them that can play well. But ultimately, the right team won. You want to see the best teams go through in the playoffs, and Buffalo are the best team in this matchup. So
yeah, I think they definitely need to up the level of play going into next week. I don't think they're all there. I don't think they're quite at the form we've expected them to be over the last couple of weeks. Josh Allen, I thought, played very well. You know, I think if you would have had anyone else other than Josh Allen, I don't think the Bills would have won that. He dragged them through that game because they had no running game. Josh Allen was their rusher with the most yards, 54 yards in total. Some of his passes were brilliant. I mean, we said it time and time again. He is a completely different quarterback from what we've seen in previous years. He's just amazing. I think it's credit to him that he's the reason that the Bills are winning rather than the reason that the Bills are losing. It completely changed it from, you know, last year where they lost to the Texans at the last minute. You could put a lot of that on him. He did have a fumble towards the end, which, you know, I think kind of people started thinking back to that game last year at Texans where he had a couple of fumbles, but he got his head back on. Drove down the field. They got another few points. They kept the scoreboard ticking over in every single quarter. With him at quarterback, you feel good about the Bills going into the next round. But the whole team needs to up their level one more notch, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's pretty succinctly put. anybody tell me when the last time the Colts played a playoff game without a quarterback called Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck?
1994.
92.
Not quite. 1996. Bonus point if you can tell me who it was. You do know this player.
it's like Jim Harbaugh.
I was going to say Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh, yeah. Yes, 1996. Yeah. So that just shows you how ineffective they've been forever.
How good Peyton Manning was.
Yeah, well, and Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, he only took them there twice, I think. Maybe three times, Andrew Luck. But true. Something I wanted to know out of this game, is Stephon Diggs one of the best trades we've ever seen?
Yeah.
He has tied the Bills' most 100-yard games in a single season record as well. Like, I mean, he might be a steal at that price.
He's the biggest difference on this team versus where it was last year. And they absolutely needed that. And when they went out of the playoffs last year, it's the same whenever any team kind of goes out of the competition, everyone starts thinking, right, what they're going to do in the draft. We all looked at it and said, they're going to draft, this is a wide receiver, deep draft. They're going to draft a wide receiver. They went the other way. They traded their first round pick for a known quantity. And they've absolutely nailed it. I think we mentioned a few weeks back, that's one trade where I think both teams won that trade. Like the Bills got a great receiver out of it. And then the Vikings used that pick to draft Justin Jefferson. And he's a great wide receiver. So it's worked for everyone.
Yeah.
But I think we mentioned it actually at the weekend, like getting Cole Beasley back.
Yeah.
I think that is tantamount, and I like
a change around. A change around of a player that Cole Beasley's become an essential piece rather than jokey white rapper.
Yeah, he was just like just another guy at the Cowboys, and occasionally he would have a good game. But he's like, he is so important to Josh Allen. He is, said this on WhatsApp to us, he is to Josh Allen what Edelman is to Tom Brady back when the Patriots were good. He's that important. If there's no one else open, like Josh Allen trusts where he's going to be, and he's able to find him. He's had him seven times, 57 yards, and the guy's not fully fit. Like, hopefully he will be on the Sunday or Saturday whenever they're playing. But yeah, really important play for them.
Going back to Diggs, I think I would say he's a known quantity. I still don't think he was this good. When the trade happened, I thought that's a good player, but I thought, you know, I was like, is he gonna be, you know, because, you know, he has a history of throwing his prams toys out.
Prams toys.
You know, I thought he'd help, but I didn't think he'd be a 1400 yards, 1500 yards. Player, and actually as well, like, they've done so well at, you know, keeping him like, he was playing throw and catch with the crowd before the game, like, he's in a happy place right now, and it's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I think it's a great trade, just because I didn't think Stephon Diggs was this good. He's reached another level.
Yeah, I think he revels in being the number one guy. I think that's what he wants to be. And you see it with some receivers. They know that they should be the number one guy. A few of them have the talent to pull that off. Some don't. He does have that talent. And I think he never was that guy at the Vikings. Like, he shared the limelight with Adam Thielen. Yeah, there are other receivers on this Bills team, but he's undoubtedly the number one guy. Like, undoubtedly. Yeah.
But yeah,
trade, because he I don't like Kirk Cousins. I've made that very clear. Everson Griffin's made it very clear the team don't like him. More than that, right? But it's a quarterback who needed a WR1. It's a team that needed a WR1. It's a man who in his head was a WR1 needing a team. It literally was the perfect player at the perfect place at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree. I just if you were to tell me that Stephon Diggs was going to become the, you know, league receiving yards champion, I'd have still gone, oh, I don't think so.
I think that's a fair opinion. I think, like, yeah, I mean, when you look at it beforehand, you wouldn't say it's a slam dunk of a trade. Like, you look at it and go, yeah, that could be good. He's an all right player. I think he's now playing above the level he was at the Vikings. Yeah. I think it's fair. But he's, like Paul said, this works perfectly for everyone involved.
Oh, exactly. No, I it's a compliment. What we've seen from Stephon Diggs this year is absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Josh Allen as well, for getting that out of him, unleashing that potential. Should we move on to the next game, which
So happy.
Rams 30, Seahawks 20. This is why G-Lo isn't with us this week, because his favourite team lost.
Oh, I'm so happy about this.
So, yeah.
Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the filthy hit on John Wolford that wasn't flagged? Would you like to start with the fact that Jared Goff did just enough with two pins in his thumb? Do you want to start with Sean McVay reminded us why he's a good coach?
Me and Jim were talking beforehand about. Have we all underestimated how good? Just have we forgotten how good the Rams' defense is?
No, I don't think anyone's forgotten everyone's stuck on is the fact that the offense at times is so turgid that it doesn't matter how good the defense is.
Turgid, yeah.
They're like a really good version of the Bears. And eventually that will let you down.
That's a very good analogy in that they are like the NFC West version of the Bears because they have got, and I do think it has been underplayed, how good that defense actually is. And I think a lot of people focus on the two stars, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and they've been absolutely lights out, the best two players at their positions in the league so far this year. But there's depth there as well. Like Darius Williams has had a tremendous season at the other cornerback opposite Jalen Ramsey. And he's the one that kind of intercepted the pass from Wilson for that pick six. And they said it on commentary at the time. So that's not something that just happens. That's work. That's film work. That's video. That's watching the plays, understanding what's going on. And it says to me that he's going to be a good player for years to come. If he's putting in that work now, he will continue to progress and continue to be a brilliant player. But yeah, the offense is just dire. Like, I mean, and you said it, Griff, that, you know, the Rams need Cam Akers to be good.
And he had a brilliant game. 176 scrimmage yards, which was the most by any Rams running back, beating Dickerson, and the second most by any rookie running back in the playoffs all time. The record is Timmy Smith way back in Super Bowl 22 against the Broncos for the former Redskins. That is how long he had 213 and Akers had 176. This is the only way the Rams can win. The defense has to be nigh on perfect and the running game has to pick up the slack because Goff was struggling before he got injured. Mm-hmm. Now, actually, he did some all right things, but every fourth or fifth throw,
fluttered around it,
and collapsed on the floor like a dying dove. It was, some of it was bad, and McVay was coaching around it. So, yes, their defense is brilliant, but it doesn't matter because a lot of teams are still going to score more than 20 points. This Seahawks, offensively, were some of the worst we've seen from them, probably the worst we've seen from them all year. They were bad offensively.
They've been bad for a few weeks. Like I said it, I said it last week. They started off the year absolutely on fire on offense. Russell Wilson, his offense has completely gone off the ball over the last five, six weeks. Yeah. Like they've looked completely different. Like Russell Wilson's rating at the weekend was lower than Jared Goff's.
Yeah,
and part of that was down to the fact that he's just not playing well. And part of it was the fact that the offensive line just could not contain that defensive line. Even when Aaron Donald went off injured and, you know, touch wood, he'll be back at the weekend. Even when he went off, they were still getting to Russell Wilson consistently. The guy didn't have any time whatsoever. So I don't think it's all on him. I think there's a lot to be said for the offensive line. But at the same time, the whole team's not playing well. Yeah, you can look at the stats and say DK Metcalf had a decent game, five receptions, 96 yards, two touchdowns. But at no point in that game did I think that the Seahawks were just about to blow up and absolutely run riot over the Rams.
Their first five possessions were punt, 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 field goal, interception. And that interception was bad. It was just bad.
Terrible. You shouldn't be getting interception on that type of play.
I do wonder whether, and this isn't a Deshaun Watson comparison as such, but Russell Wilson carries this team most of the time. And it must be tiring over the length of a full season to know that you have to be the reason that team wins. DK Metcalf is great, but he doesn't get the ball from the line. It has to come to him. So I just think this year, as the season went on, we went from let Russ cook to can we keep Russell upright enough to get into the playoffs? To he's not going to throw enough yards because he's knackered. I think it just it's what, 7 years now, 8 years since they won the Super Bowl.
But it's been the same in all that time, isn't it?
Always been the same.
They've never had a good offensive line. They've always relied on the fact that, you know, in those Super Bowl winning years, they had Marshawn Lynch, who didn't need a good offensive line because he just bulldozed his way through anyone. Mm. And they'd rely on the fact that Russell Wilson is brilliant at escaping the pass rush. There's no doubt about that. And he still is good, but he just can't do it every single play. And to your point, you get tired doing it.
Well, as well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The team that won the Super Bowl, they won it on the fact they had a sparkling defense.
Yeah,
and you know Russell Wilson was enough on, and especially like compared to the receivers now to what they used to have as well. Oh, you know,
so much better.
You know, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate, all these players that have gone and left.
Yeah,
actually, they'd be really useful for this year. I mean, I know DK Metcalf is an absolute stud, but it's just. I'm never quite sure what to think of the Seahawks team, because I always think.
Well, most of us picked them to win. Who didn't pick them to win? Was it you, John?
I very much sat on the fence, and you forced me to pick someone, and I went with the Seahawks, and I regret it.
Yeah, poor. I knew one of went with Rams.
Do you know that this was the first time that the Rams have had two takeaways in a playoff game since 2001?
Ironically, I've had two takeaways over the last weekend.
There's nothing ironic about that at all. And Aaron Donald's dominance over Russell with 15 sacks in 15 starts against him.
It's crazy.
If you're the Seattle front office, surely Russell Wilson's going to slow down over the season. He's going to become slower because of that massive wallet he's carrying with a quarter of their cap in it.
Yeah, I just think that they now owe it to themselves and Russell Wilson to get the pieces that are missing, go in the draft, get a line that can hold up. I actually think Chris Carson is a really good running back. Don't have a problem with that, but the line would help him as well. So if you can get a line, you don't need more receivers. Russ Wilson will make average to good receivers look really good, and you've got DK Metcalf. Get the line. If you need to spend a couple of picks on defense, do that as well. Yeah. But actually, the defense, when it's been well coached and everybody's fit, has looked adequate.
It's got better when they had
seven consecutive games of conceding 20 or fewer points coming into this. So the defense is okay. Get a line. Just get a line.
But it's the same. It's been the same for years. I think that the defense has improved when Jamal Adams was playing and Carlos Dunlap came in from the Bengals. So. Look, Jamal Adams is going to be there for a number of years. He's still young. They've used two first-round picks on him. Absolutely, he's going to get a long-term contract. And he has the ego to just about fleece them for pretty much anything they want, because if they ever let him go after giving off two first-round picks for it, that's just a disaster. But they need to find their Aaron Donald. They need to find someone who can get to the quarterback. Because, look, if you could have got any pressure on Goff whatsoever, and they got two sacks on him, but realistically it's like two sacks, that's average. He came in injured, he could barely, like you say, they said it on commentary, one out of every four throws was just horrible, and that's why they didn't play him. If you can just get any pressure on that quarterback, then you've got to win, you've got to beat the Rams. And they should have beaten
that's why they signed Jadeveon Clowney, but that never worked out. He's now on IR. I'm not sure he's with the team next year. In fact, I don't know where his career goes from here, because he's never actually done the job he's supposed to have been.
He was at the Titans this year.
Oh, sorry, yes.
He was last year. But that's where he's gone.
Like, they've had the players that are supposed to do it, but it's never worked out for them. They've rarely been a good pass rushing team in the last 5 years. It's all been about the back end of the defense. Who can we pick off? How can we stop the run? But they need to start pressuring. But for me, concentrate on the O-line. I think Wilson's good enough to work around everything else if he's got time. And he gets less and less time as the year goes on and the line gets worn out. And then he gets worn out and you get to this. This is their first home loss in the playoffs under Pete Carroll.
Though. Yeah.
And bearing in mind, they've been to the playoffs a lot under Pete Carroll. I think not having fans, this is the team it makes one of the biggest differences to, because it's the loudest cauldron going. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. But this was a really, this was possibly the most disappointing performance of any team over the weekend for me, the Seahawks. I really thought they'd step up.
But they have no other plan. For the last 3 years we've been doing this, we've always said the Seahawks have got to the playoffs, and they don't, they're not, nobody picks them to win it all, do they?
No.
Very rarely.
There's $32 million in cap going to that man next year. They have to build around him. They have to give him an O-line because they've got no other option.
And realistically, like in this day and age now, $32 million is probably average for that caliber of quarterback. Like you look at kind of the likes of what Patrick Mahomes is getting, where it's getting up to like $40 million. There's absolutely no reason why, that Russell Wilson shouldn't be getting paid more than that. They've got him on a decent contract because he signed it a couple of years back.
It's not comparing Russell Wilson to Mahomes because, I mean, Mahomes is a generational talent. So is Wilson. Wilson is currently earning on par with the guy on the other side. He's earning the same as Goff, Carson Wentz. Actually, you know, considering what's out there, Wilson's a bargain.
Yeah.
But still, as Paul says, they need to protect him. If your offense is, let's get it in Wilson's hand and see what happens, then you need to make sure he can hold on to it. Without...
It's a minor miracle, really, how he hasn't been injured over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, and he has. I don't think he has missed a game. Like, no. I don't think he has missed a game. Full stop.
He hasn't missed a start.
Yeah, and it's the amount. Like you say, we've been saying this for years. Improve the offensive line. Improve the offensive line. Improve the offensive line. Every year, I think we've been doing this. Like we've said that offensive line is bad. Yeah. Russell Wilson makes him look good because he can escape pass rushers. But yeah, it comes to a point where you can't escape Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, who had a great match. Michael Brockers, who's a man monster. Like, all those players are just, they're going to get to you at some point. And, like, let's be honest, like, if the 49ers were at full strength as well with that pass rush, that's going to hurt you as well. So, the front office has to be thinking about long-term for Wilson. They've got to face Aaron Donald twice a year. They've got to face Nick Bosa twice a year. Like, they've got to protect that quarterback.
Now, I agree with you with everything you said there. I think the key ingredient is, and if you want to let Russ cook,
no one can see it. It's a podcast. You're showing a picture of Russ wearing.
There's people who watch this on YouTube, or just for your amusement.
Yeah,
there's
a photo of him. They can see Russell Wilson in an apron
actually cooking. Yeah.
You are asked, let Russ cook. Oh, do you need an oven?
Yeah.
Do you actually want a frying pan? Oh shit! Sorry, I didn't realize you needed these stuff to cook.
You need ingredients, right?
It's the same thing as always. But we're having the same conversation that we've had the last 3 years with the Seahawks. They squeaked into the playoffs. They've gone out at the first opportunity. Russell Wilson has no O-line. Their defense is getting older, other than Jamal Adams.
You know, other than Jared Goff, who was the last quarterback to come into a playoff game and attempt more than 15 passes?
Ooh. I don't know.
It was Drew Bledsoe in 2001 for the Patriots. That is the last time that this has happened. Normally, when players come in, it's not that early. It's not the first drive of the game. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it pretty much was.
We haven't spoken
about that here, have
we? That was the last thing on the list for that. Back.
What a great hit! I mean, what a terrible hit. No, I don't because I got the feeling that it would have been a clean hit if John Wolford hadn't dived into it. Now, I know that that's not an excuse, and I accept that, but he probably ducked into it. Like, he just sort of went
John Wolford for aiming for the ground with his head.
They initially threw a flag, and then they picked it back up again. They're like, no, that's why. Fine.
I think they picked it up because they thought, where was the player supposed to go?
And, I think actually on the Sky coverage, Jeff Reinbold's like, no, not a hit. There's no way he can pull out of that. And yeah, you're absolutely right. He couldn't. But at the same time, he did almost take John Wolford's head off.
No, he didn't. He almost compiled it into his spine.
Yeah.
He lost about 3 vertebrae in there. It turns out he's not actually badly injured, doesn't it?
So apparently now it's just a stinger in here.
He can't see over the O-line anymore.
He can't see over his shoulders anymore.
He's now shorter than Kyler.
I don't know. Well, Sean McVay will make that decision, obviously, but I'd stick with Goff.
But the thing is, if Goff is only as fit as he was the other day, they'd already picked Wolford to play. What's going to have changed? Not a lot. Goff's still going to have pins in his thumb.
Still another week of getting fitness back, though, isn't it? Makes a difference.
I'm just asking the question. It's almost like they know that Goff needs probably the off season to get his confidence back, and doing it in the playoffs isn't ideal, and that's why they're happy to start Wolford.
Yeah, potentially.
But I'd still rather have the max contract number one pick with Pinders.
As would I. I agree.
Than the man with a potential head transplant last Sunday.
Okay, well, let's move on. Football team 23, Bucks 31. So it's now Rams go on to play Green Bay next week, and now Bucks are into the next round of the playoffs, and Tom Brady, man.
Pretty He's awesome. All right, isn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, that old fella. Not bad. Yeah. Anybody want to take a guess how many postseason touchdowns Tom Brady has? Postseason only.
42.
Close. Keep going.
45.
48.
Very nearly. 75. 75. Joe Montana is second. He has 45. Brady has thrown 30 more postseason touchdowns.
I mean, just to be fair, he's been in the playoffs for 20 years.
Yeah, just for the record, the players in the top seven are Brady, Montana, Favre, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger. So we are seeing some stud postseason players in our watching of the American sports. But yeah, Brady is 30 touchdowns ahead of anyone else. And he looks like he could play for another 2 years quite comfortably if they're going to hold him like this. I actually thought the Bucs defense slightly underperformed. They were far too keen to blitz because they just wanted to get to Taylor Heinicke. And all it did was give him room to run. But do you know how ineffective Washington quarterbacks have been over the years rushing in the postseason? Heinicke has set the quarterback rushing record for the Washington football team with a grand total of 46 rushing yards as a quarterback. But do you know what? He played really well and will have a contract somewhere next season.
Yeah, that's not
his last game technically for football team.
Yes, yep. He will get a contract somewhere, but let's not go anointing him as a chosen one.
No recency bias, but I'm just saying, compared to other players we've seen playing the league this season, he's looked quite good in the last couple of weeks. Like, we've seen worse players play this year. And
this is true. We've seen Dwayne Haskins play this year.
Exactly. But I thought he played very well. The team would definitely galvanise behind him. And his future there might hang on what Alex Smith decides to do.
I think there's a more important thing of what Terry McLaurin says, because Terry McLaurin's come out in support of him in the last couple of days.
Yeah, because he likes a quarterback who can throw down the field, which Alex Smith doesn't do. So, yeah. I mean, they are the opposites of each other. But let's not get away from the game. Like, the team was 7-9 coming in. No one really expected them to beat the Bucs, but we did expect them to put more pressure on Brady than they did. Mm-hmm. Chase Young had one quarterback pressure, I think, maybe two. He wasn't a factor in this game.
No, but if you look at the way the Bucs lined up for a lot of their snaps, like for the first time this year, they were putting two tight ends in.
Gronk
lot of plays
blocked in this game. I think Gronk one pass, maybe not a lot.
So they were there specifically to beefen up that offensive line. And it worked like, brilliant.
It looked like the Patriots between, say, 2012 and 2015, where it was two tight ends and they stay in and block and they just release at the last minute as safety valves. That's all it was. It was very well done. You can't fault the way that the Bucks went into this game. I just think they're going to be. Are they playing New Orleans next? So it's a divisional.
Spoiler alert.
It depends who wins out of the Saints and the Bears.
Christ.
But no one saw that coming. But I just think
SpongeBob,
they're rolling at the right time. Antonio Brown, really good, keeping his shit together, playing really well. Leonard Fournette did enough, despite the fact that Ronald Jones wasn't able to play. Leonard Fournette did enough to carry the running game. He wasn't brilliant, but
did fine. 19 carries, 93 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Fourth.
And like we said, old quarterbacks need running backs. And
yeah,
he did
exactly. Mike Evans came back as well. Like, you know, he remember he went last game of the regular season. He looked dangerous. It looked like crisis. That's the last we've seen of Evans this year. Came back, six receptions, 119 yards. Boom, done.
Only two players have ever played in 12 successive playoff seasons. Want to have a guess at who the other one is? Because the first one's really obvious.
Is it?
Yes, Tom Brady.
Oh, I thought you meant other than Tom Brady.
No. Only one other has played 12 consecutive playoff seasons.
Is it some obscure defensive player?
Is it a kicker?
It's a kicker.
Vinatieri?
No.
Morgan Anderson?
No.
Goskowski?
Goskowski. Yeah. It is Goskowski. Every year since he took over from Vinatieri. Basically.
Of course.
But yeah, the Brady thing just goes on and on and on. And yet, and this will sound strange, I'm really pleased he wasn't playing for the Patriots this year because he'd have got crushed and we'd have been rubbish. Because who was he going to talk to? It only works for him because he picked the team where he thought, I can still be good on that team. All I have to do is stay in the pocket and throw to these brilliant receivers. Perfect. Well done, him.
Yeah, picked a good one there.
Yeah, no, right coach, right player, right line. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant choice.
They're rolling.
I really am upset because I think actually they could go all the way this year. At the moment, the way they're going, they get Devin White back next week.
Yeah,
to help their defense.
They could also get better as well because a lot of those players are still going to be there next year. What's the area of strength? Where do you spend your first, second, third round pick this year on that team? Because you're like, all right, we might beef up the offensive line a little bit more and protect them a bit more.
Yeah. Coach.
Other than that,
I think the team's just peaking at the right time. In the middle of the season when they were all up and down, Brady went.
Yeah.
He had four games, eight touchdowns, seven interceptions, and a really average passer rating. The last four games, he's got 14 touchdowns, two interceptions, and he's like third overall passer rating. Like, they've just clicked at the right time, and it does coincide with Antonio Brown as much as.
His first three games. Gronk, I think it's just the familiarity of both Brown, Brown and Brady and Gronk and Evans all playing together. Like, we've spoken about this a lot, but. There was no off-season. There was no preseason. There was no kind of team drills throughout the year. Like, it takes time to gel. Like, I remember when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. That time they won the Super Bowl a couple of years back. They were talking about Brady and Chris Hogan, how they'd have like pass after practice after practice after practice. Yeah. The fact that the receivers just knew when to make that cut. Brady's not had that with his receivers this year, but their practice and their gel has gelling together had to come through the games that they played together, and that's why they're probably peaking now. They're lucky that they've avoided a lot of major injuries. I know a few people have lost a bit of game time, but overall they're one of the teams that haven't had massive injuries, and they're getting better and better. And yeah, you could see them going all the way. Like next week's game is going to be really tough to call. Not going to enjoy
really
that part of the show.
Yeah, enjoy that.
As well, you compare playoff football is really different. It's so much more tight than regular season playoff. And now the Bucs have added Brady. They've added Gronk. I mean, Antonio Brown is used to playing in the playoffs. Actually, what they've added. I know they're playing fantasy football, but they've added. Experience, and
it shows
calm heads as well. Mm. Like, could you imagine in the same position last year with Jameis?
If they'd have been coming into this game last season with Jameis, they'd have lost. He'd have just thrown picks to that defense, and they'd have lost. They'd have found a way to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have got there in the first place.
Maybe not, but still.
But no,
but you're forgetting LASIK, Jameis. It's a new proposition.
Exactly. This is the guy with. A digital view, Terminator style, when he looks down the field now. Beautiful. Okay.
5,000 yards when he can't see. 10,000 yards when he can. Trust me.
Ravens 20, Titans 13.
Not the game I expected.
No.
I think many people probably expected a shootout. I mean, when I did the previews on the website, I said this game could come down to whoever has the ball last. And I mean, it did, but I didn't mean in that sense of the matter. And I think the most frustrating thing for me on this one was that the Titans defense actually showed up. Yeah. And the Titans offense just, I mean, it's the worst game Tannehill's had for the Titans since he came in from Mariota.
It's the fewest yards Derrick Henry's had.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, the Ravens defense played well, but not to the extent that the offense on the other side of the ball just wasn't the offense we've seen for the regular season. I don't know what's happened.
Well, I know you're going to touch on it in a second, but I thought it was a really poor coaching performance from Vrabel. They just didn't look. They didn't look ready. It's almost like they overthought it. Like they figured we've beaten them twice using the same tactics. We better do something different. And it was just unnecessary. If they'd have stuck to their normal game plan, I don't think the Ravens did anything special. Lamar played well, but he on his own shouldn't have been able to beat this Titans team.
He had 136 yards.
The reason I picked the Ravens to win is because I often think that once a team loses a couple of games, they get a step on what to do. And maybe the Ravens changed just enough and the Titans overthought it and it just tilted it the other way.
No. I mean, I picked the Ravens to win because I thought they had the better defense than the Titans. I think both defenses were very even in the end. And it didn't come down to that. It just came down to the fact that Titans offense was terrible. And yeah, the point you make on coaching from Vrabel was he made some odd decisions. This is a theme in a couple of other games where the decision to punt when you're in the opposition territory and you're a score down and it's 4th and 2 and you've got Derrick Henry. I don't get it. Like, and I don't think anyone gets it. And I don't think even Vrabel has come out and said why. Because that's just, you can have all the disregard for analytics and statistics as you want. You don't need to take analytics and statistics into that decision. You need to look over at your team, look at your 6'2", 220-odd-pound running back who's just rushed for 2,000 yards and go, just give him the ball.
Yeah. This is what I mean. They overthought it. They overthought it.
The Broncos won the Super Bowl by literally, where's Terrell? There you go.
Yeah. Exactly. It is true. Like, they just outdid themselves. Running.
Just outdid themselves. Rush and give him the ball.
But so we should talk about Lamar's run, which I've seen some people say is the best quarterback run ever. I don't think it is. No, but it's one of the best ones I've seen in the playoffs. Like, the decision, the last split second decision to tuck and run was brilliant. It was everything you want from Lamar.
It was brilliant. And yeah, it's one of the best quarterback runs we've seen out there. But and I was, because it came up on my memories today on Facebook, it's no different from what Kaepernick did to the Green Bay Packers a good few years back. Like, he ran for like 180 odd yards that day and he was just electric. And I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson. He had a great game and it was a good run. It was one of the best runs we've seen. But let's just pipe down the old recency bias a little bit.
Of course.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it was a great run.
It was the timing of it as well. It was the, you know, the Titans are just doing enough. They're just doing enough. And he was away. And was it Kenny Vaccaro? Somebody he went past, and the guy was just like...
So I just looked at him and gone, nah.
Yeah, he might as well have just sat down and folded his arms. He was like, not going to catch him. And, like, that is going to look awful on the film review that they do, because he just didn't try. He was like, I'm not going to get him. You've at least got to try, just for your own sort of not getting the piss taken on the Monday. But, you know, the Ravens, if they play like this, are going to test anybody. It's just... I don't know whether they can do this against any other team. I don't know. I just got the feeling because they played the Titans the way they had before that they pull something out the bag. But, you know, they're a threat just because they have Lamar. And a bit like Josh Allen, you were saying earlier, let's give Lamar credit for turning into a passer. He can pass the ball. And that is why the run was so surprising, because he hasn't been doing that as much. It's been short, 10, 12 yard. I know he's got like the most rushing yards for a quarterback ever, but it's all been 10, 12 yard bursts, nothing like 50 yard run. So let's credit the passing. He's really accurate now.
He's having an accurate streak at the moment. I think he's great. I still think he's got it in him to have a clanger, but he's not doing it at the moment.
I think he said so as well himself on the what was the interview at the end where he said, "I threw that dumbass interception," and it was a dumbass interception. It's like one of the worst interceptions I think I've ever seen. But credit to him, he got back on the horse and he then went on and had almost a perfect game. I think Marquise Brown had a good game, showed up. I worry about the rest of the receiving core, but I still think this is the second playoff game, which is going to be incredibly hard to pick between Ravens and Bills. I mean, we're getting into preview, so we'll save that for later.
What do we before we move on? Titans next season, more of the same. Just be better on defense. Coach up, spend your draft picks on the defense, but go out with the same plan. Because losing the first round of the playoffs, it's not great, but somebody has to lose. This is a good team. This team, if they build the defense and coach the same next year, should be really good again.
Yeah, they find a pass rush.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on now to Bears 9, Saints 21.
Well, this is going to be a short one.
Not much of a game, was it? Nickelodeon was great. I loved it.
I only saw what you were putting up because I was watching it on Game Pass. But
we could only see it on Twitter. Unfortunately, Nickelodeon were only showing it in the US. So us in the UK were deprived of the special event that was Nickelodeon and young Sheldon explaining what every flag meant.
That's like the fact that Duncan's dad was stuck watching it like that and couldn't watch it any other way. He's like a 65-year-old man. Less than impressed.
I can imagine how infuriating that might be.
But to be fair, that's a good thing to do. Like, I don't mind that. That's okay.
I like it.
It reminded me of when Sky got all the rights to the cricket, and they used to have Stumpy and Willow or whatever they were called. Them two little characters used to come on and explain everything, and you'd be like, "Oh my god, this is infuriating." But for 8-year-olds, it was probably amazing. Well, so,
yeah.
Fourth and Inches has Willow, and now the Seahawks O line.
But if it was in the UK, 4 Inches, you know, imagine if you showed your daughter that, she'd be much more interested in this than watching a game.
Yeah.
And from there, she might actually develop an interest in the sport.
Yeah.
It's a really great, from a sport that quite often, a lot of the time, really takes itself far too seriously.
Yeah.
For what is 22 men chasing
catch it. Yeah.
You know.
In all fairness, the problem with this game was that it involved a man getting ejected for fighting on a Nickelodeon broadcast, which is not ideal. And didn't someone swear on it as well?
Someone got caught swearing.
There was audible swearing. Although the best swear of the weekend was Lewis Riddick, wasn't it? On whichever broadcast he was doing when he exclaimed that this shit is electric on the live broadcast. You know, fair play.
Just get back to the game. Let's talk about the Bears. Or the Saints, one or two.
Well, all right, let's talk about the Bears. I was trying to find something good to tell you about the Bears. You remember how terrible their kicking game was for years?
That was pretty good, yeah.
Their kicker, is it Cairo Santos, I think?
Yeah.
He is currently 27 of 27 from kicks of 45 yards or more. He's the only player to have that record at the moment.
They sorted the kicking game out.
And everything else fell apart.
I actually think the defense played very well. They were, like, the Bears were in this match for a lot longer than they deserved to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 7-3 at halftime. And another odd coaching decision, like just before the half, where they decided to run the ball 3 times. It's like, you've got a chance. You can go into the locker room up 10-7, but they decided not to take it because they just don't trust Mitch Trubisky. Can't blame him. He had a really bad game. I had a long conversation with a friend who is a Bears fan, and he said, and we were back and forth on Twitter, and then yesterday back and forth a bit on WhatsApp. He said, if you put Tom Brady into that game, do the Bears win? And I said, probably not, because your receivers can't catch. Because that was one of the worst drops. It wasn't a drop, it was just a miss.
Yeah.
And he'd made such a good catch the play before on the sideline. And there were a couple of good sideline catches out of the game. Javon Wims.
Oh, Wims, that was it. I kept thinking of Mims that plays for the other one. But but you say Trubisky had a bad game. That is where his game fell apart. Because that was absolutely in the bucket. If the guy had been carrying a bucket, he'd have caught the ball.
This is what I think is so infuriating about Trubisky, because those two throws were absolutely spot on. Yeah. And he's made other throws where he's shown that he has got the talent to make those passes and get the ball into the place where the ball's meant to be to give the receiver the best chance to catch it. The biggest problem is he's really bad at reading the field. So unless the first receiver is open, he's not going to see anyone else, because that's where he goes to. He locks onto that receiver and he's very bad at seeing what else is going on in the field. And I think he's lost all confidence in himself. Like, went back into a shell and he wasn't the same. He's a good running quarterback. He's really athletic. He can make the passes. He's just, I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's his confidence. It's just not there. I wouldn't be surprised after the playoffs if the Bears actually, and before this playoff game, we were saying, actually, they've done well. You know, keep Nagy, keep Trubisky. I wouldn't be surprised if they blew the whole thing up now.
Blow it up. You get somebody else in. Keep your pieces on defense. Rework the offense. I think if you only take Nagy or Trubisky out, I don't think you're doing enough. Because they hold each other back, but they also hold the team back. I think they've both got to go. And they both probably benefit from being somewhere else. I think Trubisky can still win games for somebody. He may not be a starter all the time, but one of those quarterbacks that when somebody else gets injured, he's the guy, he comes in and probably wins you 5 or 6 games. He was like a 1-year starter in college. It wasn't his fault he was picked at number 2. No. A ridiculous decision, as it turns out. I just think he needs the confidence. I think he's blown as a player.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be funny to have young Sheldon come on and explain why the Bears took Nick Trubisky before Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, etc.
Hindsight's 2020.
It doesn't matter who you are, right? That has got to chip away at your confidence. If all you hear is, why were you taken before these two dudes? I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but I can see how that would just eat you up inside, because it doesn't matter what you do, you can't get away from that if you're him.
Yeah.
It's not like he's not trying, because he is. And, you know, they were 5-0 when he got dropped and whatever. You take all your stats you like. He's got a winning record as the Bears quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Something just isn't right. And some people just need a different start. Yeah. Some people are good at their job, but they're much happier and better at it doing it somewhere else.
That might be an example.
Ryan Tannehill was a perfect example. Got away from Gase, and he's been amazing this year.
Yeah. I think the same with Darnold from the Jets.
Yeah, I do as well. I think the other big issue with the Bears is like they went on this run towards the end of the season being really positive because they had a good running game. They didn't have that on Sunday. Saints absolutely dominated. The Saints defensive line absolutely dominated. They didn't get to Trubisky that much. They didn't get pressures on him, but they absolutely shut down David Montgomery.
Fewest points the Saints have ever allowed in a postseason game, 9. That is how good. I mean, I know
the defense is good. But the defense is good.
And the thing is, it kind of needs to be, because Drew Brees, all right, 28 of 39, 265 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he looks old. I mean, he looks done. And I know this is the end of it, and I know he's pretty much said, I'm done after this year. I hope he sticks to it. I don't want to see him back next year. I want him to go out.
I think he signed a broadcasting contract next year with
CBS
one of the big...
Or NCB, yeah. One of the, yeah, yeah. And that's fine. And he's still capable of playing on a winning team, but he's not capable of winning a game for a team.
It helped having all the pieces around him for the first time in God knows how long. Like Michael Thomas came back, Deontay Harris is back, Alvin Kamara is obviously back, but it's the first, and a lot was made of this on the day. It's the first time all three of them been on the field this season. And it showed. Like he did look better in this game than he has done towards the end of the season when he came back from his injury. So I have, and do you know what? He's amazingly well protected. Like Ryan Ramczyk had an amazing game against Khalil Mack.
They're doing everything right to utilize an old quarterback. All I'm saying is, know when it's time.
I think you might not win
the Super Bowl, but you definitely won't win it next year. And somebody will play this next year when he wins it. But like, he doesn't. It's like Philip Rivers. Like, he threw for less yards and whatever than Philip Rivers, but he looks the same. And I don't want to see Drew Brees look the same as Philip Rivers. That's not what he should be.
I don't want Drew Brees to have that Peyton Manning drop off the cliff end of the year.
He is.
I think if he carries on, and I know Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl that year, yes, but he didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl because of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, the Broncos won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that defense won the Super Bowl.
And are you trying to say something, Paul?
Yeah, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, it'll be with Drew Brees, not because.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But that's where it should end. Alvin Kamara, incredibly unlucky not to have 100 yards in this game. He got stuffed and ended up on 99 yards and a touchdown. But he makes this team tick. And, you know, Taysom Hill rushed for 15 yards on four carries. The guy is amazing, really, when you think about what he's contributed to this team this season. It, just all over the field. It is something you can't really easily replicate. Michael Thomas, 5 receptions, 73 yards and a touchdown on his return. Can't really ask for a lot more than that. But they are loaded fit, when everybody's fit.
Yeah, he looked fit as well. He didn't look like he was just coming back from injury. He looked like he was, I am ready to go. There's nothing wrong with me now. I'm good.
Yeah, but he was stalled rather than injured. But yeah,
I want to mention one. John, let me watch one more thing.
One more.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Is he the fellow that taunted the Bears player into slapping him around the head?
I've got a heck of a lot of respect for this guy, because this guy has got two Bears players sent off from the field, and he got Michael Thomas fine and suspension for fighting. I don't know what his technique is in terms of sweet nothings that he whispers to attackers. Griffner, you guys know I played defense at soccer, and I used to do exactly the same thing to kind of get a response. But this guy's on another level.
He's like, clearly insulting somebody's mum every week, isn't he? Like, he's really riling people.
Like, it's him, and then there's Marco Materazzi as well. those two are legends of the game. I mean, what a stupid thing to do to try and hit someone in the head when they're wearing a helmet in the first place.
In front of the ref.
It's just brilliant. So, yeah. Like, I mean, as wide receivers, as attacking players, you've got to be prepared for that part of the game. And as defenders, that's part of your repertoire. It's a part of the game, a part of every game, which goes unnoticed.
Just to qualify this, Jim, does this mean that your son is being taken to football practice on a Sunday morning and being told what to say to players on the other team?
I won't comment on that.
You coaching him up on the car on the way down there?
Yeah. Right. Whisper this in his ear. And another big highlight, and they're showing on Sky right in front of me, Sean Payton actually got slimed at the end of the game.
Yeah, he did.
Now you can move on.
Let's move on to the fun game. High score, and as well, it's just nice to see Steelers.
This game was amazing. Did anyone stay up and watch the game live?
No, but I had 48. I had 48 text messages on my phone the next morning.
It was only me and Alan, and Alan is our resident Browns fan, and I felt like I needed to support him through this because I don't know Alan, but it sounded like he might have a heart attack. so Alan and I watched this game, obviously not together because that's how it was. The Steelers opened up with the following possessions.
A lot very clear throat for this.
Yeah. So the Steelers went fumble. Interception, punt, interception, punt, interception. That was their first six possessions. The opening play of the game, the centre for the Steelers threw the ball so high over Big Ben's head that I actually lost it in view on the screen and didn't realise where it had gone. And then Big Ben pulled a cam and didn't fall on it at the 1 yard line and let it roll into the end zone where it was recovered for a touchdown. The Bears scored within 7 seconds at the Bears.
This didn't make me think of Cam. This made me think of Super Bowl 48. You remember that first snap
where Manning's head.
You immediately knew they fucked it.
Yeah, and you did with the Steelers. You saw as soon as Pouncey threw that ball, you thought this game's going to the Browns. And 28 points is the most scored in the first quarter of a playoff game since the Super Bowl became a thing in 1970. And the Browns they just took advantage. The Steelers, I've said this before under Tomlin, they just sometimes look underprepared. Tell me, in the last, I think I'm going to say 9, it might be 10 years, the only 3 quarterbacks that the Steelers have beaten in the playoffs. And you won't. You won't tell me. Who?
Kurt Warner.
Nope. Nope. Not in the last ten years.
10 years.
I think it's 10. If you name, you might get one, but if you name two, I'll be super impressed.
Sanchez.
Nope.
Brady.
Blacko.
No, one of them still playing. In fact, I think they're all still on squads. One of them still playing. Alex Smith. They've beaten Alex Smith, so well done. You know, league average quarterback. One of them is my favourite, Matt Moore.
Of course. Well
done, well done. Dolphins game. Yeah,
yep. Like it.
And one of them is career backup AJ McCarron. So well done again.
When they beat the Bengals, yeah.
They're the only three quarterbacks the Steelers have beaten in 10 years of the postseason.
Wow.
They have been putrid. And
death,
don't
taxes.
Sack coaches. Tomlin is, what, the seventh Steelers coach all time?
No, like, third.
Is that what it is? Well, third, is it?
Third,
really?
It's third okay. Since Super Bowl, I believe, or third in the last 50 years.
Yeah, okay. So, I know it's a long time. They don't sack coaches, and they will be loyal to Ben as long as Ben wants to play. But a bit like the Bears, like, Tomlin has reached his ceiling. He won Super Bowls with someone else's team because he did.
Yeah.
And Big Ben needs a running game. I'm not saying Big Ben is over because he did throw for like a million yards and did score points. And he's played well at points in this season. But when the running game is rubbish, which it has been, he looks fat and old because he's fat and old. Like, what? He is. It's
He's
what he is.
Thumb.
Yeah, he does. Paul says it every week. He looks like a thumb. He looks like some fat bloke. Somebody's dad turned up to practice and had to play a quarterback. And he'd be fine with a running game, but they don't have one.
It's true. It's been bad. The running game's been bad all year. I think that part, like, if you just look at the box score and you look at, like, 11 carries, 37 yards, yeah, that looks bad. But like you say, they're 28-0 down. They were chasing the game literally for all but 7 seconds of the game. They were wild.
Nobody's ever had four picks and four touchdowns in a postseason game ever before. This was amazing. Yes, Big Ben does it like a thumb. Thank you, Paul, for the comparison. If you could just draw two black lines on your thumb for a more accurate comparison, that'd be amazing. He does have multiple chins, which you should never see on a sportsman except in darts. But I love the way Paul's now gone to fetch himself a pen and has just abandoned the podcast. Honestly, there was a few moments. In the end, 48-37 is closer than it ever really was. There was a spell where I think the Steelers scored on three consecutive possessions. And I was like, oh, my God, Alan, seriously, please. But then Nick Chubb did his thing, iced the game, really, by breaking through on a run. And it really wasn't in doubt. It's the Browns, so it always is. But it wasn't. I didn't know what to... Like, you've seen the stream of messages. I was like, Alan, I'm delighted for you. This is amazing. I've genuinely never been as pleased for someone's team getting into the playoffs and then doing this. It was incredible. Baker Mayfield did everything he could possibly do. They stuck to the plan. They didn't just hand the ball off. They kept playing proper offense and putting the Steelers under pressure. And everyone's saying, oh, Ben's thrown four picks and it's terrible. He has no running game and they were 28 points down. The guy had to throw.
He had to throw 68 times, which is a phenomenal amount on any quarterback, let alone a quarterback in his mid to late 30s. Yards. Yeah, and he
threw for 501 yards.
Someone to
didn't
get,
Juju
someone to
get 180?
150, 157 yards.
Thank you, Paul. That's much
nice, better. Nice, Paul.
Yeah. But don't tell me Ben is done. 501 yards, four touchdowns on, I don't know, a 60-odd percent completion rate. That's fine. But he's got maybe 2 years where you've got to surround him with a running game and this defense has to play better. This defense, we were saying, can't surrender 30 points. They surrendered 48. Take off the first one. They surrendered 41. Like,
this is becoming a young man's game. You need somebody who can adapt.
Yeah.
And when it's thrown over your head and you've got a 39-year-old thumb who's got the...
But as well, can I also say...
It was amazing.
Connor didn't do himself any favour because it was him that got to the ball first and then just watched it bounce in front of him as Garrett, must have just
Connor
counted his
Ben.
Blessings.
Yeah.
It was awful.
They both just
really
stood there.
Bad.
It's like they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to give up a safety. And it just reminded me of Cam Newton that time in the Super Bowl. Like, they just both backed out. But the Steelers' defence was equally as disappointing for me how you give up this many points to them, to the Browns, and then have any self-respect. They've come out and said, oh, don't worry, the Browns will lose in the next round to the Chiefs and that'll be fine. No, not okay to say
that. That was the first thing that probably I was quite happy about. I don't think anyone can begrudge the Browns winning after all the, unless you're a Steelers fan, unless all they've been through. But then, like, it really annoys me. I get really annoyed whenever a team I support, the players do this. When people like Juju Smith-Schuster come out and go, yeah, but the Browns are the Browns. Like, we're going to beat them easily. Because you're giving the opposition, you're giving them your team talk, their team talk.
Yeah.
And in a week where the head coach can't be there because he's got COVID and he's sitting in his basement watching it by himself, it doesn't matter because all you got to do is print that out and put it on the dressing room for everyone to look at and go, there you go. These guys say you can't do it. Off you go. Go out and prove them wrong. And they absolutely did. They played.
Is Juju a masochist? Because he just seems to be trying to get himself beaten up week after week.
He's just not very mature.
And I've seen Chase Claypool comment today on something. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but we'll be back next year, blah, 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 blah. Shut the up. Shut up. Focus on your job. Get better. Come back next year and prove it. Don't say it because you're just adding to the fire. You're like, you're just making it worse for yourself. You're looking like an idiot now because you've lost badly to the Browns.
I know John's going to want us to move on, and that's fine. But I just want to ask a question before we move off this one. Is Jarvis Landry now a better receiver than Beckham?
Yes.
He's a fitter one.
Oh, but that's the key difference. If Odell Beckham without knee injuries is a different proposition altogether.
I mean, first season, Odell Beckham versus Jarvis Landry. Yeah, their first seasons, there was no contest, was it? Odell Beckham was amazing. He was the next. He was the next Jerry Rice. The last 2 years, he's not been that. Jarvis Landry's reliable. He catches anything that's vaguely in his vicinity. Yeah. He probably doesn't get the yardage and doesn't create the spectacular catches which Beckham has had. But he's more reliable. He's fitter. He's there. And you know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't be on the pitch because you're not fit, or you're only going at 80% because you're not 100% fit, then the question is null and void. Go on, Paul.
Beckham is a WR1. You have to give him possession. You have to throw to him. Landry adds to a game, I feel. Mm. Beckham has to be the game. And the Browns can't play that with Beckham, the amount of talent they have and in the division they have.
Yeah, I think he could be out of Cleveland. I think that they have him out, don't they, this year. So I could see him moving on. And I think that works for both parties. So I don't think it'll be... it's not one of those things that it's going to be a grudging move. I think everyone's probably going to accept it and move on because there's receivers coming from Cleveland now that are playing well. You know, they've got two of the best running backs who are good receivers. I think Higgins, Hodge, and Peoples Jones have proven to be amply good number twos, threes, and fours. And you've got two good tight ends there, Hooper and Njoku. Like, don't need Beckham.
No.
Yeah. No. So before we move on, we'll just confirm that in the super divisional round.
Odell Beckham's contract gives him $1 million for getting to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Please.
Didn't yours?
Yes.
Gusting, isn't it?
So, sorry. LA go to Green Bay. Tampa go to New Orleans. Ravens go to Buffalo. And Kareem Hunt revenge game as Browns go to Chiefs. We'll come back in a minute and we'll go through the news. Hi, welcome back to the second part of the Snap UK Super Wildcard Weekend review. So we've gone through the games. Now it's time to go through the news. And I guess we have to start with Doug Peterson, who the one time I thought I'll get the running order out early today, yesterday. And of course, in between, Doug Peterson gets fired or leaves.
They could say, I heard he threw in the towel.
I've heard mixed reports.
He's bit the dust, but yeah, it's all over there now for him.
I'm gonna have a very strong opinion on this. for lots of reasons.
Go on.
Right.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't, would it? I know. But firstly, and I'll make this very clear, we've done it before, I don't like Eagles fans. You can all go fuck yourselves. I've experienced you, and I don't like you. And obviously, also, I'm still bitter about the Super Bowl. That aside, can we point out a few things about Doug Peterson before we go down this role, and then we'll talk about the team as a whole. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl because he had a brilliant offensive coach, Frank Reich. And since Frank Reich left, they've not been very good.
They got to the playoffs twice since Frank Reich left.
But they've not looked very good when they've had to play anybody decent. They play in a rubbish division. True?
Yes.
Last 2 years.
The Cowboys have been a lot better the last couple of years, even under Jason Garrett. They were guaranteed 8-8.
I've looked these things up in advance. I'm confident in my stance. Doug Peterson's not a great head coach. He's an average head coach who had a good coaching team around him who left him because he's a control freak and wants to run everything. A bit like Bill O'Brien, who also got sacked this year. And guess what? A Super Bowl winning coach is now out on his ass because the team he was coaching for don't have any faith in what he's doing. Regardless of whether he left or they sacked him, he's out on his ass.
He is out on his ass. I also didn't appreciate the Eagles fans at one time around Wembley. I don't hold a grudge so much about the Super Bowl. In fact, I was quite happy that they won that Super Bowl. I will say that, you know, last 4 years, he's taken the team to the playoffs 3 times, regardless of what the coaching team is around him. And bear in mind, part of his job is to hire that coaching team. He's taken the team to the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. He's had a horrible season this year. That roster is terrible. And putting the roster together isn't his sole responsibility. That's on Harry Roseman. And the last game, I don't know what happened in that last game, the whole decision about Jalen Hurts. No, I don't, because I don't know if it, I don't know, it's Jeffrey Lurie saying, tank, we want a high pick. I don't know if it's Harry Roseman saying, tank, we want a high pick. All I know is I don't think that was his decision. I think he did what he was told. And I think that's why he's now had a, he's, there's been a disagreement between him and Jeffrey Lurie, the owner. I think that's why it's now gone, do you know what? We don't like each other anymore. We don't want to work with each other. Whether you say he's fired or he's quit, I think it's actually, it probably works for both parties. I don't think he could work there anymore because he had lost the locker room, but I don't think that's his fault.
Oh, I do. I don't think he's been
saddled. I think he's been saddled with a horrible quarterback decision over kind of Wentz or Hurts. The whole thing is a mess, and I don't think that's his making either. Bear in mind, it's not him that gave Wentz that huge contract. They can't trade Wentz because the contract's too big. No one's going to take that on. Massive. At the same time, yes, he did put, you know, that he got to the playoffs twice with, or, and did pretty well with a backup quarterback. One time he had Frank Reich in there. Yeah, he won it. But like I said, it's his job to put the coaching staff around him and to put that team together.
John, have you got a pen handy? I want you to write down 1:38 and 10 seconds into whichever number of podcasts this is of the season. I'll tell you right now, whichever team Doug Peterson goes to next won't have a winning record through his first 2 years because he's not a good coach. He's an average coach. He's just average who did well once. That's it.
Did well, three out of the last 4 years. He's gone to the playoffs.
It's good timing. It was good timing.
You don't by being an average coach. You did it being by an above average coach.
He's not a good coach. He's an average coach.
When he went into the Eagles, that was an attractive proposition. Mm-hmm. The next person who comes into there is having to put
car crash.
Hell of a load of fires. The team's been pegged back.
Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz was, I'm always told, Mike, Carson Wentz was having an MVP-style season and he's really good. No, he's not. And I think this is good for him as well, because they're all going to say, well, they've chosen Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson, and so Carson Wentz will get to stay as the Eagles' starting quarterback. Why? Blow it all up. Get rid of him as well. I don't think
they can't get rid of him. They can't
trade that contract.
You can't.
They've already said how. It's even come out. His agent has said, well, we just have to pay $20 million back. And he could go.
The Eagles are already $71 million over the cap space for next year. They can't afford to pay a player who's not going to play for them another $20 million. It's just...
Maybe not, but they don't have to if he pays it back.
Why would he pay it back?
Because somebody else will pay it to him as a signing bonus, so it doesn't matter. But he needs out of there as desperately as Trubisky needs out of the Bears.
I don't think he does need out of there now. He's got the backing of ownership. He's won that contest. The ownership is going to bring in...
The team is terrible.
But they're going to replace the team. Half of them are leaving anyway. Half of them are terrible anyway. Like, look at that. Look at that team that ended the season. There's no one on there that you say is a star quality player.
No, including no Carson Wentz.
Fletcher Cox maybe is the one player that you'd say, all right, yeah, he's Pro Bowl caliber. There's no one else. Not for this year.
It's the team
that will do better next year, regardless of who's in charge, because they'll have a more settled O-line. They had the most frequent O-line change that any team.
They'll be fit next year, absolutely. Yeah, that's fine. But Doug Peterson, either way, he's just not that good. Carson Wentz isn't going to be as good as he should have been. Let's not forget Cam Newton was an MVP once. Then he got injured and was never as good again. Carson Wentz is the same. He's probably not that future of that franchise, even though he's got a massive contract. This might be the problem that he was having with the management, if that's what you think. They've given him a contract which Pedersen's then stuck with, but he doesn't want to play him. He clearly wants to start Jalen Hurts. Clearly.
So you're telling me you're a fan of Wentz? That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I think he's a disaster waiting to happen. I just think Jalen Hurts is a better starting proposition right now.
Oh, I disagree. Like, he came on and he had an amazing first couple of games, like a lot of rookie quarterbacks. Look at Taylor Heineke. He came on and had an amazing game. There's a reason for that. People don't know about them. They don't know much about them. Agreed. He got found out pretty quickly in those last two games, and he was average at best. And in that last game, he was woeful. If he wasn't able to run, he would have been pulled out a lot longer.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, that Peterson was instructed to tank the last 15 minutes and make sure they got the sixth overall pick. If that's the case, he should come out and say that.
Mm.
Because it would save his reputation immediately. But if it's not, if he made that decision, then that would be enough for management to say, what are you doing? Everyone just thinks we breached the integrity of the game. And they should come out and say it.
Well, so somebody needs... I don't think anyone... Yeah, I agree with you. Whoever said it should probably come out and say it, because at least... Well, there doesn't need to be some clarification. It'd be nice to have some clarification on what went on. It's not going to happen. Neither party are going to. I guarantee
probably
it.
Not. But you can't tell me that...
I need
to look at four-year veteran Nate Sudfield, who's never started a game before. That doesn't fly in anyone's book. Somebody is telling a big porky pie, and they need to fess up, because somebody's reputation is on the line.
Somebody is, but they're never going to fess up.
If
Doug Peterson comes out and says, I got told to say it, he's not getting another job. If ownership come out and say, we told him to say it, or Doug Peterson did it, they're not going to get another head coach, because no one's going to want to go there.
Maybe.
And also, they'll probably get fined by the league for the integrity. I think it's literal lose-lose, isn't it?
And
also, like we said, the next head coach going there is lose-lose. I think we spent enough time on a rotten franchise with shit fans.
Can we go to another rotten franchise?
Yeah, go on.
So, Deshaun Watson. He seems to be quite annoyed.
He seems to be pretty upset.
He deleted a tweet, didn't he, about the new GM. He said, "Oh, for fuck's sake!"
Same
old Texans. No one's listening.
Yeah.
So they hired a consultancy firm to help them find a GM, and then ignored the consultancy firm. They didn't talk to their star quarterback.
No. They did talk to a star quarterback about who he wanted for a head coach, and then they didn't interview any of those suggestions.
Didn't he want Eric Bieniemy and somebody else? And they didn't interview either of them.
Yeah, that's correct. They have today. It's been announced that they did bring in Eric Bieniemy for an interview. Kind of think it might be a bit too late for that, but I think that's unobvious. We need to flip and do something to keep our star quarterback happy.
Yeah.
So they hired, like you said, they hired. We mentioned this last week, didn't we? They hired a search firm to kind of help with the consultancy of bringing in a new GM. They then went back to Jack Easterby's mate, former Patriot Nick Caserio. Now Nick Caserio has got an amazing reputation. I think he'll actually be a pretty good hire. I've got absolutely no problem about that. But it's the fact that they then kind of brought in a load of people who Deshaun Watson doesn't want to work with. Deshaun Watson's the only player on that team except for JJ Watt. Like, you've got to keep that guy happy.
JJ Watt's at the end of his career.
Yeah,
so you can let that go a little bit. Yeah. But Deshaun Watson needs to be happy. Otherwise, your team's got nothing. It's already in the tank for draft picks and everything else.
Yeah.
Chances of him leaving?
High.
Good.
I think.
Yeah.
But why would they trade him if they don't have to?
Because they need the draft picks. Like, They don't have to, you're right, but they've got no draft capital and they've got no cap space. And the way you build a team is mainly through the draft. Their first pick this year, their first pick is in the third round.
But the problem you've got is everyone knows he wants out. So they're not going to offer you two first round picks. They're going to say,
I think he will get two first round picks for him. Is that good?
Yeah. There is talk and there is a team that's got two first round picks.
Yeah. Miami. Yeah.
There is talk about them being interested, and that would be phenomenal.
And you know what? You couldn't fault them because as good as Tua may well be, Deshaun Watson is.
It's a known quantity.
Yeah. You're not gambling on potential, are you? Just go out and get it.
That, if the Dolphins pulled that off, would be the most stunning, spectacular thing they could do, because that team is already going to be a monster going forward, talent-wise. Deshaun Watson would just elevate them so much. And all of a sudden, the Bills wouldn't have it easy in that division. Nope. And the Patriots are even further from competing, and so are the Jets. And so, do you think Miami should do it?
Go all in. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd offer them the third overall pick for him. I'd just offer them one. Just here's the third overall pick.
Go plus Tua. Third overall pick
and Tua. Yeah, Tua. And do you know what? I think the Texans maybe should take that. But
And also, Nick Caserio's at the Patriots, and they absolutely loved Tua last year. So, let's not rule that out as well. I mean, I'm incredibly biased. I'd love to see him at the 49ers. And there's been a lot of chat about that on the old interweb and the old Twitter. Again, it's going to be and it's one of those things, you could say this like 10, 15 teams. You can afford to give your first round pick this year and your first round pick next year for a player like Deshaun Watson, who wins you games. If you put him on the 49ers squad, that's Super Bowl favourites for the next couple of years from the NFC.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. See, as much as I would obviously love to have him at the Patriots, I think we've got too many holes and we need to spend the picks elsewhere. I don't think that having him on the team would make us a contender. But
be a good fit for the Pats as well.
But the thing is, what you'd have to do is take another year of pain and say to him, we want you, here's a massive contract, but we're not going to be competitive until at least 2022.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Because you can take a year of pain, knowing that if Bill can tell him the plan.
The only downside with that is I would say Deshaun Watson is about the limit of where Belichick will be prepared to go to. He wants an established quarterback to help him win in the last 3 or 4 years of his coaching career. So Belichick is the one who doesn't have a year to sacrifice.
I'm just saying on a general thing. Deshaun Watson is young enough. He can take another year, another 2 years of pain if he knows at the end of that he's got a team around him.
Yeah.
Staying at the Texans, he's got 2 years of pain, and then they can rebuild. So he's got 2 years of pain before then they go through a rebuild phase, which means that's another 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's in his 30s.
He's a 30-year-old quarterback who hasn't ever won anything. Yeah.
Everyone, there's so many quarterbacks right now. He's Matt Stafford. Yeah.
He becomes Phil Rivers.
Yeah.
There's so many quarterbacks who should be looking at what Carson Palmer did with the Bengals. He played them perfectly. And he wanted out and he stuck to it.
Mm.
And eventually he forced their hand. And he's now he's a ring of honor at the Cardinals. He got what he wanted.
But you don't want Deshaun Watson having to spend the season at the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. No. But I'm just saying, if you want out, you can get out.
Admittedly, moving there, not great. But yeah, I think there's a genuine chance he moves.
Yeah,
unless the head coach is the one he wants. If he gets whoever he wants, he might stay for that. But they're going to have to be quick, because otherwise he's going to want to move.
Well, the thing that Adam Schefter came out this week and saying, when they traded Hopkins, his anger level was a 2 out of 10.
Mm.
His anger level currently with what they've been doing in the front office is 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I bet. He's playing so well every week as well. That's the thing.
He was the reason they got. Yeah.
Bill O'Brien was right the entire time. He didn't need Hopkins to get yards.
No, because he made Will Fuller look like DeAndre Hopkins light.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Yeah, anyway, let's, because we've got, we can go through this over the next few weeks, because I think this is just going to develop more and more as we go along. And we're running long anyway. So let's get on to a little game, because it's a bit of light relief. So It's play your yards, right? It's receiving yards. So I'm going to give you a name. You then have to work out whether the next person I give has more or less receiving yards than the person before.
Very simple. All time, all season.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Paul, because he's the person next to me. Once he gets it wrong, it then goes to Jim, and then it's to Griff. If you can get 5 or 6 in a row, then you win.
Oh, okay, wonderful. All right.
But, so we're starting off, AJ Green. AJ Green, if it helps, got 523 yards this year. Okay. Eric Ebron, number 2, more or less? Less. You can ask the others.
Less.
He got more. He got 550.
I would have got more.
So, Paul, you're out for now. Jim.
Strong
Eric
start.
Eric Ebron, 558. J.D. McKissick from football team.
Oh, he had quite a few receiving yards.
But he's a running back.
Probably more receiving yards than he had rushing yards. I'm going to go more.
589. So, Laviska Shenault Jr. is a wide receiver, but
he's a wide receiver.
He's a Jaguar. Yeah.
He missed
somebody's knee. Anytime somebody says his name,
yeah.
He had a couple of good games and a couple of good catches, but I am going to go less because there are a couple of other receivers there which I think probably have more than him.
600. So you're right.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
These are all players in the top 100. So there will be players. It's not like I'm going to just throw random names out there.
Tom Brady.
So Michael, Laviska Shenault, 600. Mecole Hardman.
Oh, more or less. Fewer, less.
560.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr. from the Colts.
More.
503.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, he had a slow start to the year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But yeah.
So no one's gonna get 6 in a row, you know that.
I've got 30.
We can go all night.
I just want to make it clear, as it's come to me now, I'm here for a good time, not here for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've heard that.
Michael Pittman Jr., 503, John Brown from the Bills.
More?
Yeah.
Sure. Less, 458.
Oh, he missed a lot of games as well.
Missed a lot of games. So, Jim, John Brown, 458, Hunter Renfrow from the Raiders.
Ooh. Less. Didn't hear him much this year.
656.
Get out. So,
200 more.
We suck at this game, guys.
Yeah, we are really bad.
Hunter Renfrow.
Yep.
Kendrick Bourne from the 49ers.
Less.
More. 667.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's going well, guys. So, Paul, Kendrick Bourne, 667. Christian Kirk.
Less.
621.
Well done. Woo! Woo! Yeah!
George Kittle. Missed a lot of the season, tight end. But when he does play, he does get a lot of yards.
Based on the fact that everything so far has told me go against my gut instinct, less.
More. 634. So, Jim. George Kittle.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Tim Patrick. From the Broncos. You go against 634 yards.
More.
742.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a good season.
Yep. T.Y. Hilton.
Tough.
Obviously from the Colts.
Strong end to the year. Had a couple of 100-yard games. Got to go more.
762.
Ooh.
Alvin Kamara.
Go on,
receiving yards.
No,
receiving yards.
Jim's natural enemy, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
I'm going to say less just because he's a...
756, so slightly less.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Devontae Parker.
No pressure, but nobody has ever got this far, Jim. Yeah. No pressure.
I don't know. Devontae Parker.
Quiet year, has had injuries, but, you know, he's the number one receiver.
I was going to say, what other receiver is there in Miami? So I'm going to go more.
793. Darius Slayton, Giants.
Is this for the win?
No, there's one more.
It's got a couple more to go. Then he gets the win. We'll just
Darius
do anyway.
Slay team.
Let's see if I can go.
Who was the last one?
Devontae Parker.
And he had what?
793. You got Slayton, who...
Is
a field stretcher.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get less. Yeah.
751.
Oh.
Julio.
Ooh.
751 against Julio
Jones. Paul's saying less.
Yeah, he didn't play like six games.
Did he miss that many? I thought he missed a few. They didn't have a tight end.
No,
didn't have a tight end this year, but they had Calvin Ridley and they had that Russell Gage. All right, I'm going to get less.
Don't forget Zachariah.
771! Ah. <Yeah. laughs> Okay, so 771, Michael, Julio Jones, Tyler Boyd from the Bengals.
Ooh, more.
Less.
More.
841.
I thought T. Higgins got all the yards there.
No.
I'm here to keep a place for Jim before he's gone.
So, Paul, Tyler Boyd, 841. Jerry Judy.
Judge Judy.
Yeah, Judge Judy, more,
the
sure.
Judge.
More.
Oh.
More, 856.
He's just handing it over to Jim. I'm not sure this game's been making a comeback anytime soon, John, if I'm honest.
Like, I like it.
Yes, because you're not doing it.
John's having a way of a time.
Jimmy Judy.
Format of wreck your co-host confidence.
It's just we have these perceptions, these players, and actually it's all dependent on various things. Jimmy Judy, 856, Nelson Aguilar.
He had a great year. I'm going to get more.
896, yes.
I thought it'd be more than that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Well done.
Jarvis Landry.
I feel like this is a trick question. Baker didn't throw for that many yards. He only throw just around 3,500 yards. Less.
840.
Oh, well gone.
Brandon Ayuk.
Great year.
Not have too much silence on the podcast here, guys.
Yeah. I know. He had another good year, but he was injured for a number of games. And there's a lot of rushing yards with Brandon Ayuk, so I'm going to go less.
748. Okay. T. Higgins. Back to the Bengals.
More.
Yep. 908.
Yeah, big jump.
Deontay Johnson from the Steelers.
There's a lot of receivers to share the ball around there, isn't there?
Yeah, and if he could catch, he'd be a 2,000-yard receiver, but unfortunately he can't.
All right, less.
923, you fell into my trap. Okay, so Deontay Johnson, Michael, 923.
So to avoid would... any silence, would it help if I played mood music in the background to increase the pressure?
Yes.
Yeah, please, Paul. We've only got six guys to go now.
Oh, only six. Good. Whatever it was, less.
Okay, well, Deontay Johnson, Darren Waller.
He wasn't as good as last year. I'll say less.
1,196 yards.
I am terrible at this. I've got none right so far.
So, Paul, Darren Waller. Moving on to Allen Robinson.
Less.
More.
More.
1,250.
I'll turn off the pressure music.
There literally is no one else into Chicago for Mitchell to throw it to.
Keenan Allen.
Chargers. I reckon he got over 1,000, but yeah, I'm going to go less.
992.
Got to be upset about that.
DJ Moore.
More, well, loads more.
1,193. AJ Brown.
1,193.
Yeah,
I mean, I reckon he probably got 1,200.
1,075. So Michael, to get one right. Terry McLaurin. Like up against 1,075, Terry McLaurin for the football team. But he did have a load of dodgy quarterbacks.
He's their only... Yeah, I don't know. Did he pass 1,000 yards? I'm going to say less.
1,118.
Okay.
He was more. So there you go.
I got zero. Well done, me. in the game of no one gives a shit, I didn't do very well.
There you go. Okay, now predictions.
Oh, my God. Some people would question why you felt the need to put a game in this week, John. I mean,
I know. I didn't expect the first half of the podcast to last an hour and 10 minutes.
Big games. I'm very pleased you've completely wrecked any confidence I had in knowledge of the NFL and asked me what I think of the next set of games.
Look, Heather helps. Very few of these players are involved in this set of games, so I don't know which game's first.
It's Rams Packers first.
Should we go Rams Packers then?
Is anyone taking the Rams?
No.
We're all taking the Packers.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we got Ravens at Bills.
Toughest one for
really?
Me. Bills.
Yeah. I'm also going to go Bills.
I'm also going to go Bills because they're at home, and that is the only reason. John wants to take the Ravens just to be different.
I love the Bills. I just think it's a bad matchup, and I think the Ravens will win.
This is the toughest one for me. I think it's a 3-point game either way. I've just gone with the Bills because they're at home.
I'm also going Bills. Browns at Chiefs.
Anyone taking the Browns?
No,
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Alan. And I'd love
it if they did win.
Yeah.
I genuinely would.
No one's saying they don't want them to win, but they just gave up 37 points to the Steelers. They could get peed on by the Chiefs.
I'd happily see them win, but no, they're not going to win. I'm sorry.
And
Buccaneers at Saints.
Tampa Bay versus Drew Orleans.
I'm taking the Bucks. I know they're away, but I'm taking the Bucks.
Bucks all the way.
I know they lost both times to New Orleans this year, but a bit like the Ravens losing to the Titans, I think the Bucks tied it up for this game, taking them all day.
Yep.
I'm going for the Buccaneers purely because the Saints always lose to dodgy refereeing, and Tom Brady has a career of very favourable refereeing.
Hasn't paid anyone off this year.
That is absolutely a great point. I am also going to get the Buccaneers. This is the tightest one of the weekend, I think.
Death, taxes, and both the Steelers and the Saints mess it up in the playoffs. That is the inevitabilities we have. I think it happens this weekend for the Saints. Anyway. And Gary's gone with the Jags to win all four of those games. It's a risky pick. We'll see if it pays off next week.
The All-Pro teams got announced, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
The MVP didn't get announced, did it?
No, not yet.
No, that comes later.
That gets announced the day before the Super Bowl.
Who's our MVP pick right now?
Right now?
Aaron Rodgers.
It's tight between Rodgers and Allen, but it's Rodgers. Rodgers has been more consistent.
And by the way, is there any reason why it can't be Derrick Henry for going over
2,000? No.
I think it's Aaron Rodgers and then Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I think Allen had that patch in the middle of the season, which discludes him. I don't think Mahomes has been all that, but like I said previously, I think they're keeping him back. It will be Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, it's always a quarterback.
Well, we'll have our own. Awards at the end of the season when it's all finished. But yeah,
I just think it's very interesting that Mahomes isn't considered part of the conversation when he's had 4,700 passing yards, 38-6, 2 rushing touchdowns. That's an MVP season in many other years.
Yeah, it is. But look at what Rodgers' numbers are, and you'll see why. More touchdowns, fewer picks. Can't argue it.
Yeah.
One last question then. Who's on the front cover of Madden next year?
Your mum.
I think Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I think Derrick Henry as well.
Yeah, probably. Must be, yeah.
Yeah.
His turn.
And the problem is, no one rushes for 2,000 yards again and again and again. Like, he's going to wear out like Gurley and all the others, Le'Veon Bell eventually. So,
yeah.
Expect a down year, maybe.
Well, if he gets Madden.
Curse of Madden.
Yeah. But anyway. Well, we can go through our players of the year later in the season. But yeah, we'll call that a day.
That'll be before or after we do another quiz.
We're gonna keep doing them. That was fun. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week to discuss the Super Divisional round. Bye.